Welcome to the Tech Teachers, show 77. We're back. I'm Ray, a physics teacher.
And I'm Holly, and I'm a Spanish teacher.
And we've been gone for a while, but we're finally back. First, you were sick, really sick. Then I was so sick I couldn't speak, so we obviously couldn't record a show then. It would have been like this. And now you're sick again, but you've decided to go ahead and record.
We're going to press on because we can't seem to get well at the same time. So,
all right. So here we go. We got lots to talk about as a result of us not doing a show in about a month, I think.
Right.
Probably
the most exciting thing that's happened in your life is that the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Yes, they're my team. I was so excited. I was screaming and yelling. That was right before I got sick, too. But the Giants won the Super Bowl. They pulled it off, and I've been a huge Giants fan since I was real little, and I watch almost all their games. I bet I've seen over the past 10 years, I've probably seen every game except for two or three. So
if you're ever in a bad mood or you're not feeling well, I'm like, the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Yes, I smile. Every time a commercial comes on with that play with Eli and David Tyree, I get a little bit of chills. You know, it's
right.
Good time. So,
yes. It was a lot of fun.
Unexpected, and the way they won it was just amazing. So.
Yes. Well,
Phil Mickelson won this weekend. That was good, too.
Very good.
At the LA Open. It's got some other name.
We are not a sports podcast.
All right. So should we jump into some of the tech stuff?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, show notes. Email.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yes. Anything that we talk about, we'll put links to at thetechteachers.blogspot.com. And also, you can email us at rayandholly@gmail.com. Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E. And so, shall we get started?
Yep. Where do you want to start?
Well, one thing I'm really bummed about, that's what I want to start, is we subscribe to Netflix, which we love, but they have just discontinued their HD DVD line. They said that they'll still be on your queue in Netflix, the HD DVDs, until the end of the year, but then they'll drop off.
So for those who don't know, Netflix is the thing where you get the movies in the mail. You pay a monthly fee and you just send them back and forth.
Right. And okay. There's no late fees and that sort of thing.
Yeah. But we like it. We like Netflix.
Yes, I still do like it, but I'm bummed because they are going exclusively Blu-ray.
It's over.
Blu-ray.
HD DVD has lost the war.
To Blu-ray.
Yes,
which I'm
Walmart's
sure you've
not
news.
Carrying anymore. Yes. Netflix has gone all Blu-ray. So it looks like it's pretty much over. They were down to one movie studio anyway. So HD DVD, rest in peace. It's over.
Yes, we chose the wrong one.
Well, we didn't really choose. We
I chose for you.
You chose for me. And I really thought HDVD was going to win the war. But even if they didn't, we got several years out of our player that was inexpensive at the time, connected up to the 360.
Right.
But, all right.
Well, and then we were subscribing to Gamefly, which we talked about during the holiday season.
And I still would say if you don't have a Blockbuster near you, it would still be okay.
However, no, it's not. I thought the service totally stunk. We got about one game a month. We would send a game back, and it would take 3 weeks because it, quote, got lost in the mail. Well, I'm sorry. It doesn't happen over and over again.
Also, I think they only have, unlike Netflix, this is how Netflix used to be way back in the day. They didn't have a lot of shipping centers. So if they would expand their operations and put more shipping centers, I don't think it would be as much of a problem. Gamefly. But obviously, they're not equipped to handle the number of new customers that they've gotten. Okay. So needs to happen is Netflix needs to buy Gamefly so they have the shipping centers. Or Netflix needs to get into this business because they have the distribution to be able to handle quick. I mean, we've gotten spoiled with Netflix. We expect it the next day.
Yes, I'm sorry. We probably didn't even say Gamefly is where it's for video games instead of movies.
And why Netflix doesn't do this, I don't know. But maybe why wouldn't Netflix go into this market? There's got to be a reason why Gamefly is doing this and not Netflix.
Yeah.
And obviously it's not that easy to do. But I would still say if your closest Blockbuster is 40 miles away, Netflix still makes sense.
You might give it a try. I really was not happy. I think you're being too kind. Because it happened multiple times where we'd send something
But they always
back.
Fixed it. They always fixed it. They made it right. So
yeah, but if it takes 3 weeks to make it right, that's not okay for me.
It didn't take 3 weeks to make it right.
Mm-hmm. It did. Like
no.
It did. You'd send it back, and then it got lost in the mail, so they'd send you a new one. So it'd take another 7 days to get there. 3 weeks.
Okay.
We disagree.
Okay. But I would say that if you're anywhere near a Blockbuster or if you buy used games or whatever, or you just, you know, you don't need to play every game, it's not a good idea. It's really nice. You'd be better off just to buy games when they come down in price.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anyhow. Should we talk about Macworld?
Sure.
We thought we were going to do like a special show or whatever, and then we got, or you got sick, and then I got sick, and it never happened. But Macworld was very, very disappointing. Do not let anybody try to put a positive spin on it. They stunk up the joint at Macworld. The MacBook Air appeals to 1% of Apple's customers, so forget it. No one's going to buy an $800 thin laptop except for a really, really small minority. It's not a mass product appeal. It was disappointing. It was not the ultra portable that everybody had hoped for. So that was a big disappointment. Also, Apple TV, yeah, that's great. HD movies, except you can't watch them unless you actually have an Apple TV. Another wah-wah. You know, it's like, what are you doing? It could be great eventually, but it's still not there. Apple TV in of itself, if you have one, is much improved. But the actual, you know, the HD DVDs and the movie rental service, it's not there yet. Maybe in another year, because for HD content, that's what I was so excited about. They only if you have an Apple TV. You can't put it on your iTunes and put it on your computer. And I know why, the digital copyright issues and all that, but still, it's kind of a little bit of a downer.
So you've been a little disappointed with Apple recently.
Extremely disappointed with Apple recently.
First of all, let me apologize. We're being a little negative today.
The recent iPhone update, great. We can move the icons or whatever. Where is the higher speed phone? Where is the one that has a GPS in it? I mean, you know, it was incremental improvements that should have happened 6 months ago. It just is not what I'd hoped for. Also, Time Capsule, great product, great idea. But wait a minute, they promised that in OS X to work with what we bought, which was their router. And now they haven't said anything, but they haven't put that functionality into the router yet. So Time Capsule is great if you're once again, it's a small percentage of people that are looking for that kind of network storage. But you should allow us to use Time Machine over our networks anyway with the Apple router.
They left it out to make more money.
I'm very suspicious. Okay. I'm very suspicious. It seems very interesting that a product that basically is our router with a hard drive tacked on has more capability than just our router with a generic external hard drive plugged in.
Right.
Seems a little bit fishy. Now, maybe they're going to, in an update, maybe they're going to build that in. Maybe it's even already happened. I just don't know because they did release a big update. But as of right now, if they don't give that ability to their regular routers, I think that's a fleecing of the customer, so to speak. They're taking advantage.
Right.
But anyway, what do you think? That's my laundry list of complaints for Macworld.
I mean, from what I've heard and read, that generally is the consensus.
Yeah, and people sugarcoat it. All the Apple fan. I'm not an Apple fan. You keep thinking I'm an Apple fan. I'm not an Apple fan. When they stink it up, I say they stink. They, you know, that stunk.
Yeah.
That was not good. It was not good. And the iPhone, where is the new version of the iPhone, not just more memory? So,
well, wouldn't they wait a while because it was such a, quote, revolutionary
product? No, they got them on the shelves. They need to – it's a cell phone. It needs to be updated every less than a year, and it's been a year. You need to update cell phone cycles. You've got to update it more frequently than they do the iPod line. If they don't, they're going to get buried because I've already seen phones from other companies that are starting to look just as good as the iPhone, and I bet they'll be a heck of a lot cheaper at that. There was that phone conference. I forget what it's called. It's not called the phone conference, but it's where all the cell phone manufacturers show off all their phones. And there were several phones. I was like, oh, wow. I'm like, they're coming. The phones that are going to be comparable to the iPhone, they're coming. So,
what about iLife?
That didn't tie into their announcements. But let's talk about iLife and iWork. I've played with both, and there are incremental updates. Should they be charging a bunch of money for the new iLife iWork? No.
iLife is what, just a suite of
applications. Yeah, it's iPhoto, iMovie, and iMovie stinks, by the way. The new iMovie. I mean, if you're just doing clips and you're not going to do a whole lot of editing, and you just want to kind of organize your videos, the new iMovie is okay. But if you actually want to edit your videos, iMovie has some things that are really cool and neat and make you go, wow. But I've edited video in the new one versus the old one, and the old one is much easier if you're familiar with timelines.
Right.
It is much easier. But you can still get the old iMovie. It's a free download now.
Right.
So the old iMovie is iMovie 6 or whatever, still excellent. But yeah, incremental updates. Also, and they're charging full price for these. You know, if you're, I mean, it's as if it's a whole new package of software. So it's a little, it's definitely overpriced. And then, oh, did your computer die?
It's fine. It went into standby.
I'm still happy I have a Mac though. Anyway. Aperture 2. This is another one of those things where it's like, what? I've tried out the demo of Aperture 2, and it does a lot of things much better. It's faster. The interface is sleeker. It's smoother.
What is Aperture?
Aperture is like iPhoto's big brother. It's, you know, it's an organizing and light editing tool. It's a workflow tool for people that take, you know, lots and lots of photos. For most people, iPhoto's fine. I need something a little bit more.
Is it so for you to organize your photos or edit them?
Both.
Okay.
It's a workflow thing. It can do a little bit of both. But anyway, it's, I mean, it doesn't have the capability of like a Photoshop. But Aperture 2 should have been a free update. It is an update to Aperture. It is not a whole redo. I mean, it should. There's no way that they should be charging money for Aperture 2. It is, you know, it should have been a free update. It really, really should have. Because Aperture 1.5, whatever, had significant issues. They fixed them all. They made it faster. Doesn't warrant more money.
Right.
So that's my opinion on that.
Yeah.
So. I mean, maybe another year and they could charge again. I know that's how the product cycles work for those kind of software packages. They have to, every time they update, they have to, you know, charge to get their money again. Right. Because otherwise people would just buy it once and that's it. But it's stuff that should have been taken care of for free. Some of it. So Apple's just been stinking it up a lot lately, and hopefully they'll turn around and we'll start getting some positive news out of Cupertino, California.
Cupertino?
I don't know. Isn't that where they're out of?
I don't know.
All right. So what do we have next? Enough Apple bashing.
Yes, enough. Yes. Let's talk about a program for Windows called Launchy.
Which I could have sworn you saw me hitting keys on my MacBook and launching programs without having to move the mouse. Like I was laying on the couch and I just went and I launched my web browser or whatever. And you were like, oh, I want that.
I said, oh, that's cool. That didn't mean that I wanted it.
Okay. But anyway, we do have a program for Windows. Holly refuses to test it out. So we don't know if it's any good or not. But it is free. And it is supposed to do what the programs we've talked about from the Mac do.
Okay. It's called Launchy.
Yes.
You go to launchy.net. I'll put a link in the show notes.
Are you sure?
It's not sure.
.org?
Pretty sure.
We'll put a link in the show notes.
Yes. In any case, then, of course, you're supposed to just be able to use a couple buttons or one button or one what keys
yes.
on your keyboard.
Keys.
I'm not feeling well. To launch programs. I don't feel I need something like this, but I'm sure there are people that do. That's why I did not want to install
it. You don't know you need it until you try it.
I know I don't need it. It's easy for me to get to the programs I use now, and I'm no longer a power
and
user.
Not efficient.
I'm extremely efficient person, thank you. But I'm no longer really a power user for the last few months. My computer is not functioning correctly.
All right.
Anyway, but yeah, so you can give that a try if you want to launch programs quickly with a press of a key.
Yes, for Windows, for Windows. Also, we should mention while we're talking about some Windows software, I was wrong. Handbrake is for everybody. So no matter Windows or Mac, or I believe Linux as well.
What was Handbrake?
Handbrake was the program, great program, where you can basically take your DVDs and convert them to a format compatible for your iPod, for your computer, for the web, for probably your Zoom, your PS, I don't know about your Zoom, but your PSP, whatever format, size, aspect ratio you need it in, this makes it almost as easy as one button press.
And a listener emailed about that.
Yes, and said that I was wrong, and I was wrong. Yes. It is for, went to the website, and I was like, oh, it is for everybody. So I don't know where I got this idea that it was just for Mac, but it is for everybody.
I always love to hear you say you're wrong, too. Just kidding.
Hey, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Yes. I admit it.
Yes, very good.
All right, so what else do we have? Should we talk about some education, or we have more tech?
Yeah, I think let's talk about what's going on at school.
Okay.
Because we are both teachers.
All right.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I have a student teacher right now. So she's taken over the classes pretty much.
Does she use any tech?
She does. She is very savvy with you know, applications and then finding great sites for the kids to use. So I'm wondering if, younger teachers are a lot of times a little more comfortable with technology.
Let's hope.
Yes, there and some, you know, some of the more mature ones are as well. So, but I think now more younger teachers are comfortable. So it's nice to see that she's already able to do all that.
Good.
Yeah. What about you? What's going on with you?
Well.
So in any case, I'm not teaching a lot. But.
I'm still using the MP3 players mainly for guided readings. And occasional files, although there's a very exciting development where students will be able to, I'm having all my AP Physics students test this out. I gave them the instructions on their MP3 players and to give it a shot this weekend, the long Presence Day weekend. And to access the network, the school network from home, so they can log in from a computer at home and see the files that I could give them.
Oh, that's cool.
And this would be really cool because then I can give them video files and audio files, and they don't even need to bring their MP3 players with them. You know, right. I could even cut the MP3 player part out of the equation for a lot of the stuff.
I was gonna say, some of the students don't have internet, though, do they at home?
And that's the thing, is that if they don't, then I have to have the MP3 player. But right. In the future, I might be able to make it an option of either you have to listen to stuff on your computer or your own MP3 player, or, you know, I will get you one type of thing.
Right.
So, but, I mean, there are other uses for the MP3 player, the portability, and at the end of the semester, they have it loaded with physics content. I like that. But it's really exciting if they can all do this. And it's easy, and it works well. Obviously, you have to have high speed if you're going to download, like, a giant video file. And that's definitely an issue. Not everybody has that.
Right.
I'll report back on that and see how that is actually as advertised by my school. So,
isn't your school wanting to get video MP3?
I kind of talked them into classroom sets. I hope of MP3 players instead of like 5 video players, because 5 video players I don't see as being that useful versus, you know, entire classroom sets of MP3 players that would be, you know, for, you know, English 101 or whatever, you know, right. The whole semester. So I think that would get more use than just an individual couple, okay. You know, or a couple of players in the library type of thing. So, and that actually brings me to a point I'd like for listeners. I'm going to be doing a little presentation on how to use MP3 players in the classroom. And obviously I have lots of ideas from the science side of things. And I've talked to a couple teachers at my school in the English department. But any ideas you have for MP3 players in the classroom in different subject areas, because I'm going to be presenting to – you know, history teachers, foreign language teachers, mm-hmm. science teachers, math teachers, all the subjects will be seeing me do a little presentation on how to use digital media and MP3 players in the classroom. So if you have any ideas for digital media or MP3 players for a specific subject area, or you have some great podcast or video casts that you know, have your kids watch or that you watch, one of the English teachers recommended Grammar Girl, stuff like that. If you've got ideas, email them to me, and I'm going to put together a big list of them. I'm going to share them with the people in my school, and then I'm also going to make them available to our listeners and maybe even the presentation that I do, if my school gives me permission. I'm going to make at least the information available to our listeners in the show notes like a month from now.
Are the teachers going to want to be producing their own podcasts, do you think?
I guess it depends on the level of technical level of the teacher. My hope is that they're going to be producing podcasts. I doubt any of them will do podcasts.
Okay.
Because podcasts, you know, you got to do the RSS feed. Yeah. So, but as far as making audio and video files, I think most of them can do that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, okay. That's my hope is that if and it seems like there'll be money there for teachers that want to get classroom sets of MP3 players. So.
Right.
That's a huge step up for my district because we're, until recently, we're way behind. And in science, actually, this is extremely exciting if this happens for next year. If it doesn't, we'll stay way behind the times. But in science, they're looking at getting the Vernier Lab Pro, I can't remember if it's called the Lab Pro or not, but it's the one with the color touch screens where you hook the sensors up and you don't even need a computer and the kids can collect the data and analyze the data all in one device. So you just plug the sensors in. Labs are even on there. You can even read the lab off the color screen. Rechargeable battery. So it's like a little PDA-like device. It could really be what the graphing calculator was for science, basically. It should become standard, and we keep expanding and getting more and more. But there might be a whole set of those with sensors for biology and physical science and physics and chemistry for next year. If that happens, we go from the dark ages in my department to, you know, almost cutting edge. So that would be exciting. I have a couple of those sensors that I hook up to computers in my room that I use with their software, but this would allow it so that you wouldn't have to have, you know, you could basically have a roaming cart and it could go to whoever.
Right.
So.
Cool. And aren't you going to be teaching a new class next year?
Yes. I'm going to training over the summer for digital electronics, which is part of Project Lead the Way. So there should be all sorts of new, and it's a 2-week intensive training. So sometime here in the summer, there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff I'm going to talk about with regards to that. And I got some more information on it. If there's other Project Lead the Way teachers out there, I have to do the training. They call it boot camp. If you have any suggestions, feel free to email me or war stories of those, that 2 weeks of training. But yeah, it's part of an engineering thing. And I've seen right now there's some kids in what's called Principles of Engineering, which is basically an applied physics class from what I've seen in the syllabus. And they're doing some really neat stuff and building some stuff.
So the purpose of Project Lead the Way then is to get kids more interested in engineering.
Yes, hopefully to spur an interest in engineering and get more kids to go into engineering. That's the main focus. But even just kids that take this class, there's all sorts of statistics showing how much better they score on their tests because they know how to think.
Right.
So it teaches kids how to think too.
Okay.
So, which is what all math and science classes should be doing. How do you think? How do you attack problems?
Right. Well, that's cool. That should be exciting.
Yes.
I see one more thing to talk about.
Okay.
Belkin's podcast studio.
Okay. So Belkin, this is not out yet, but I saw this at – I watched all the coverage, all the video clips and press clips from Macworld and from CES. And the one thing that really caught my eye out of everything was this Belkin podcast studio. It's this little tiny – almost looks like a case for an iPod that your iPod plugs into, and you can plug in microphones to it. And then it records to the iPod. So now, and it works with, or it's supposed to work with several different generations of iPods, but whenever it comes out, I'm sure we'll, I'll look into the reviews and give you the specs and all that. But it's kind of exciting because if you have a little handheld device that you can just plug a couple mics into, and you can now record podcasts anywhere easily. Now, I know a lot of people are probably saying, well, you can do that with just a voice recorder or whatever. But I'm always concerned about the audio quality, and I always want that external mic so that I can plug in and use like a real mic or at least a USB mic in the case of what we're doing right now. So for audio quality, for people that want to have higher audio quality than just a voice recorder, this might be an inexpensive way to do that. And
portable,
it does have volume, it does have, gain control on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the market I think they're looking for. Obviously this is not, geared at the professional, but this would be good for the, prosumer or the, enthusiastic amateur or whatever that core group is where they're willing to spend $100 to get something to make it sound really good and be portable. So that's what I'm hoping it is. That's what I'm hoping it delivers. So I'm excited about that. Because I think it'd be nice, like when we do our road trips, we have to get out the laptop, plug in the thing. But now eventually, obviously, you have to get the files off. So you have to get the laptop out anyway. But sometimes you just don't want to go through all that. Or like you could do a, where you don't want to carry your laptop. So let's say you want to record. All you need is two mics, like I said, or even one if you want to share. But you could record, you already have your iPod with you. So you just plop this thing in your backpack. You can record wherever.
Cool.
So.
Good deal.
Okay.
It's warm in here.
It is warm in here.
Okay.
Well, happy President's Day, everybody. Fred's show, the Did You Know show, will also be returning soon.
Okay.
On a side note.
Yes.
And I'll give a plug to hcscience.blogspot.com. We got some fun videos up there. You should check them out if you haven't done so.
Ray's Science Club.
Yes, we do. We blow things up and make things catch fire, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, we got anything else?
I don't think so. I'm going to go take a nap.
All right, so I hope you feel better, Holly.
Thank you.
Check out the show notes.
At thetechteachers.blogspot.com.
I was waiting for that. I had to lead you into it. I'm like,
well, and then you ended up elbowing me.
And feedback?
Feedback at rayandholly@gmail.com. That's our email address.
And dig our show. We only need a few more digs to get up to that front page of education. So please dig our show.
How long have you been saying that?
I don't know. We're like 30. We go between like 30 and 40.
Okay.
But there's stupid stuff. Some stupid stuff ahead of us. Come on, people.
Oh.
Dig our show. Get us up there.
Don't say that. That's not appropriate.
Not appropriate to trash the competition.
No.
Actually, we're not really in competition. It's the stuff in Bravos has nothing to do with technology and education, so it doesn't matter. But anyway, it's like financial podcasts or something.
Okay.
It's like just the education category.
Yeah.
Anything where you're to learn.
Right.
You know. Okay. I think that concludes show 77. Hopefully you will feel better and I won't get sick, and we'll be back in a future week or two.
Excellent. All right. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening. I'm Ray, physics teacher.
And I'm Holly.
And she teaches Spanish. Until next time.